Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. And when I say mind power, that's what we're going to be discussing. But it's not just mind power we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about body power, spirit power. We are going to be talking with an author, Steve Siskold, who has a marvelous book. And I don't say that lightly. What's your body telling you? How can you listen to your body signals to work with challenges that you have in everyday life? Well, Steve is going to be able to share some insights with us, and I know you'll enjoy hearing about it as much as I enjoyed reviewing this book. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. I appreciate it.
You are a man who has walked a very, I think, interesting journey in life. You have had some fascinating experiences, which I look forward to having you share with my audience. But you are what you call a body centered therapist, and you've worked with all kinds of people from all walks of life, and you like to talk about and educate people about body intelligence. First, why don't you tell us how this came to be significant for you, and how did you learn about this for yourself?
Thank you. What a great opening question. Well, I could take you way back as a child when things happened to me. We'll probably get into that. But I was in advertising and sales, doing quite well, because I had already realized that, you know, I was into this internal game, and I succeeded in the business world through things like noticing my breathing, noticing I would sit back, I would get a different response than when I leaned forward. And then what I noticed is in my clients, whether they were a salesperson I was training or when I was in advertising, public relations, I would write something. I noticed they would say one thing and their body language would say something else. I go, huh, something's not congruent here. So I already had a master's degree in communications and marketing, and I decided to couple that with some psychology. So I got certified in body-centered psychotherapy, which basically is instead of just listening and talking about stuff, I'd notice something and say, hey, you know, when you said that, I noticed your fist clenched or you stopped breathing. Let's see what that is. And I just explored that and pretty much developed my own protocols of helping people link what they wanted in their life and what might be blocking them that they're not finding in their head, but they could locate that in their body.
Right off the bat, in your book, you talk about a five-star thrill ride, and you say everything that happens to you is registered in your body, literally etched in your cells and your consciousness, and I agree with that 101%. It is so significant, and it's very difficult many times when people are trying to express something, let's say to a physician or to a friend, or even trying to figure out something for themselves. It's so easy to ignore what we've gone through. We're just supposed to suck it up and forget it. It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. But, you know, so many of us were, when we were small, we'd say something like, Mommy, I'm so hot, I want to take my sweater off. You're not hot, and it's not hot in here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I don't know what I feel. And then it would go even further where someone would express a feeling and they'd be told that's not okay. Shh. I had a woman who told me that she, when her grandfather died, she just wanted to scream and yell. She was so angry. Where's my best friend and why did God take him? The next day at the funeral, she wanted to cry and moan. And both times her parents said, no. Shh. Grandpa's in heaven. He wouldn't like if you were angry. He wouldn't like if you were crying. So she held it in, and that's what most of us do. We hold it in, and we enroll our body. It has to go somewhere. In her case, she held it in her chest and held in her breath, and 2 days later was diagnosed with asthma. Mm-hmm. So many of us have a habit of holding in because we were taught to do that, or we would be punished or laughed at or told something was wrong if we actually expressed our feelings. So a lot of us are used to holding it in, and it's become a habit, and it might have helped us survive when we were young, but it's causing a lot of problems for us nowadays.
It's a real challenge in life because every generation is going to face this on one level or another. To reach that point of self-awareness means that you must be open to explore yourself. And there are so many people that feel like they're not worthy of doing that. And to me, that is sad. And one of the greatest gifts you can ever give to anyone is the acceptance that there has been pain, there has been suffering, people have been unfair, but to take dominion over their own world, over their own space, over their own mind, over their own spirit, is really of the essence. And that is what I think is one of the greatest gifts that your book gives. Tell us about Nancy Todd Tyner. I loved The Queen of Diamonds. I just thought this was such a cool story. You've got to tell us about Nancy.
Thank you. Nancy's an awesome woman. She was a political strategist, did really well, and one day had probably the worst thing any human could have, lost her son to cancer. And she went through so much with the medical community and just felt that so many things. She was so angry. And she lived outside of Las Vegas, and just one day she got so tired of being stuck in her grief that she went to the tables and started playing poker. And what she noticed is that it gave her some aliveness. It gave her some energy. She made a commitment to win and be the first woman to win the poker tournament. Yet when she sat at the tables, all stuff was coming up. The guys are better. They're looking at me funny. I don't know what I'm doing here. How can a woman beat a man? All the old stuff came up. Like many of us, we have all these beliefs that live in our system, and they get activated at different events. So somehow she found me, I think, through her chiropractor, and actually flew out. I do a lot of one-on-one intensives in my home. And she flew out to be with me, and we uncovered some beliefs that we shifted. But even deeper than that, we went into a deeper purpose. You know, why do you really want to do this? Part of it is you just want to find an outlet so you won't sit around thinking, which a lot of us do. We get trapped in our thoughts. But also, she got in touch as she started breathing and feeling into her body that this might give her a platform to have a deeper purpose and help the awareness of what goes on for children and cancer. So she had a determination, a new inspiration, and a goal from working with me, as well as got in touch with all the belief systems. I actually made a CD for her where she sat at the table, and it would go something like this. She'd put it on. Nancy, sit back and breathe. Sit back. Don't lean forward. Don't look hungry. Those men opposite you in the table or those women, you can beat them. Just breathe. They don't, you know. So in other words, she was going back to a lot of old feelings and stuff around men. She's attractive. She was wearing jewelry. They would make fun of her. Boom, she would forget, and she just couldn't win. From going into her BQ, her body intelligence, and being aware, she sat back and she relaxed, and she was the first woman champion. She went all the way, and it's just a beautiful story because now she has the platform to really go out and do some great work in the world. And she won. She was a champion because she moved those obstacles that were in her mind. And, you know, Einstein has this great, great saying, you can't solve a problem with the same thinking that created it. And that's really what I'm offering is, look, if you come to me and say, I can't seem to break through this, my question is the same as the title of the book. Well, what's your body telling you? And we always find a different answer because in the body, as you said earlier, are those beliefs, and that's where they got stuck. That's where they got stored. So it's best to go there to find what's in my way versus trying to think about it.
And in finding what might be in your way, it's being non-judgmental about it, then looking at it with integrity and honesty and say, all right, I may not particularly like something. I don't need to like something. It's all right. It's okay. But I don't have to hold on to the old stuff. It's okay. And you have a quote by Gunther von Hagen. Nothing is as close to us as our body, but there is nothing else that is close to us and about which we know so little. Those are powerful words. And when I think of our world today, there is such a superficial application, and I think it is literally a root symptom of disorder, and there is such an emphasis on the superficiality without appreciating the magic of the human body and the wonder of it. And to be able to come around to a different attitude, that is quite a phenomenal challenge. What was it that made you come into an awareness for yourself? You call it the body billboard.
I think for me, thank you so much. For me, I was extremely successful in sales and business, and they kept asking me, what is it, what is it? And I just realized that it was really more of an internal game that, you know, no matter what it is within me, I have things that happen to me just like everyone else. And I held my breath when it was uncomfortable, and I kept them in. And I realized that, you know, these things get in my way. And yet when I became aware of them, for instance, first time I went on the television, I'm extremely confident. I'm a performer. I sing. I love to tell stories. Tell me 5 minutes I'm on stage, no problem. Yet the first time I get on TV, I start to sweat profusely and have anxiety. They say, Steve, Cisco, you're on in 3 minutes. Whoa. Why am I so having all this anxiety? And what I tuned into in my body was a feeling, and I could feel that familiar feeling in my chest. And as I breathed into it more, I sunk and I got small. What I realized was that in there was still a feeling that I had not resolved or would come, get activated or visit me every so often. And that was when I was young. First time I left my neighborhood with my cousins, we got beat up and sent home by these big bullies. And I didn't tell anybody, I didn't tell my mom, and like most of us, I held it in. And what happened at some level was, if I go out too big, if I go out too far, I'm not safe. And who knew that 40 years later I'd be on a TV show and they say, Steve Cisco, you're on in 3 minutes, and here that feeling got activated. So I just realized that it's really important for me to be aware of those kind of things, even if I'm driving to an interview. Even before I got on this interview with you, I check my body. I take breath. I notice, am I breathing deeply? Am I breathing shallow? Oh, I'm crunched up. Let me shake that out so that I can be the most present and powerful in my essence, my authentic communication in where any moment. And I find the best way to do that is for me to get in touch with my body awareness and notice what's really happening. Because my mind might tell me I'm fine, but if I don't go through my body, I won't realize if I'm holding on to something from the morning, if I'm crunching my belly. And those are the incongruencies that I've found so much with people. So I do my best to try to align the words that come out of my mouth, that my billboard, my body language gives a congruent message. To me, Donna, that's the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. Not what you think, but what you emanate is going to draw people in.
Absolutely. I loved a little story. It's a little tiny story. It's about a dad who is with his son, and he turns to his little boy and said, I notice you keep scratching your head today. Why? Little boy says, because I'm the only one who knows it itches. I love that story because that is so child. That is just the way kids are. Well, this is logical. I know it's itching. You don't know it's itching. That's why I'm scratching. And it was just a wonderful way to start off your chapter that you have, ready, set, go. And you have a quote at the beginning of that chapter, self-reliance is the only road to true freedom, and being one's own person is its ultimate reward. How many people need to hear that message? Mm. And yet they'll say, I don't understand. I'm trying to be a good person. I'm honest. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. But yet I don't feel fulfilled. I feel like I'm in a tailspin. My life is in the toilet. I've got lousy relationships. I've got this situation. I'm broke. I've got all of these things. And you will find this spin, I'll use the word that you use in your book, that it comes out and there is this desire that you want that person to calm down and realize that there are other options. And that's another gift that your book brings because you have some wonderful exercise through it. But you talk about accessing the now with SET. Let's talk about that. Let's see if we can help some of our listeners.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Donna. Well, you know, the reason I bring up that little story about the itch is because most of us aren't aware of our SET, our self-evident truth. Yet, if you really notice, again, back to that story of the sweater, that little kid knew he was hot. I've had clients say to me, gee, you know, my husband puts my son in a scalding bath every night, and the kid screams. My husband puts his hand in and says, no, the water's fine, the water's fine. So we've become less reliant on trusting our instincts, less reliant on knowing, you know what, no matter who you are outside, God bless you, if you tell me I'm not feeling that, actually, when I tune into my self-evident truth, I am. So I really do know what my experience is. And it's a really short exercise. And the first step is to, first of all, make the commitment to go within and really listen to your whole body consciousness, not just what's going on in your mind, but from head to toe. The second step is start with the breath. I feel like that's the best and shortest integrative conversation between the mind and the body, is to start to breathe and listen. Wow, I didn't know I wasn't breathing. I'm breathing way up in my chest and not my belly. Wow, I'm breathing fast. I'm breathing slow. Start with that. Then you'll start to get in touch with a self-evident truth. Secondly, take a deep breath and scan from head to toe. What am I feeling? Oh, I didn't realize my leg was shaking. Start to get in touch with every sensation from head to toe, especially when something happens in life. Somebody makes an offer. Somebody asks you out for an event. You'll be able to go, huh, what am I noticing from head to toe? Third thing is name it. In other words, name it out loud or to yourself. I'm noticing my back hurts. I'm noticing when she said that to me, I got scared. Start to really declare what is, and it becomes a habit. And then the last step is take action. So if you're noticing something's tight on your chest from a conversation you had at breakfast, make that phone call, get it off your chest. If you notice you're gripping the wheel too tight, driving to work, relax the wheel, relax your hands, relax your shoulders. So basically it's an opportunity to go within. I do it several times a day. I did it before I got on this station today with you, because I want to be set so I can be present. And there's nothing I know better than to check my breath, my body sensations, name it out loud, so the mind and the body become one through that conversation.
I think also that type of exercise, discipline, enables you to take positioning of power for yourself. This is about the individual. And it enables you then to really have that sense of honesty with yourself, so that whatever else goes on around you, you have detached enough, disassociated enough, where you can say, what am I going to do with it? And it gives you that positioning of choice. Whereas if you don't do it, you don't have that choice. So I think your suggestions are very good. And you make a story, or give a story in your book, about a man named Carl. And I know so many people today have been laid off from jobs. Their companies are going through upheavals. There's all kinds of things that we hear on a daily basis. Tell Carl's story, because it is such a good one.
Ah, thank you. Well, you know, this is so typical, because especially now with all the things that are going on, the economy and so forth, Carl in a nutshell calls me and says, oh my God, I just heard my company's downsizing. Okay. Now, his mind took him into things like, I'm going to lose my job, I'm never going to get health coverage again, I don't know if I'll ever work, will I ever find a company like this? Carl, slow down. Let's separate the fact from the fiction. Here's the fact. You heard your company's downsizing. Here's the other fact. What are you feeling? I'm scared. Okay, now we got two real things going on. You heard something and you're scared. Everything else you made up. And he's like, wow. So thank goodness he was smart enough to call me, because what he might have done, Don, is he may have gone into his mind and spun all those things, gotten sick, not shown up at work, become less productive, and maybe gotten himself laid off. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. We get so scared that we do these self-fulfilling prophecies, and he, like most of us, would have built enormous amount of anxiety. I had him breathe and do the exercise we just did. And as he got in touch with that, he located the fear of being let go. He shook it out. He breathed it out. All the things I teach in my book, how to shake that energy out of your body, how to breathe it out, how to tell the truth. And all of a sudden, his breathing became deeper. He felt less anxious. And actually, then we could take him into a proactive step. So what are you going to do about this other than make up scenarios that are not true anyway? You can do a soap opera, make a big drama, run home and tell your wife and be freaked out. or you can breathe and do something. Well, no kidding, Donna. That afternoon, he makes a new resume, and he walks across the street to a competitor, which he'd always want to work there anyway, and they wouldn't let him in because he didn't have an interview. He went down to the mailroom, took an elevator up to personnel, and when he was told at personnel, sorry, we don't do interviews or walk-ins, one of the partners walked by and said, hey, this guy's got a lot on the ball that he would take an elevator up here. You know what? Come on in. Let's talk to you. And he got a new job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it just goes to show us we've got to separate that fact from the fiction because that's where we lose our power.
Mm-hmm. Now, you bring up some fascinating terms throughout of your book. One of them, you talk about paper tigers. And in the Chinese culture, it's anything that appears to be very powerful, but in reality is nothing to be afraid of. And when you look at that kind of an analogy, it's very logical. And we all have our paper tigers. I have yet to meet a human being that does not have one, two, could be 10,000.
Right.
We've all got them. And to say, oh, no, that's not in my life, is really not the truth. Because we all have backgrounds. Maybe we've come through different cultural environments. We have been indoctrinated. So here we are as adults, we're trying to unlearn what does not work for us. What is a good way to get, one, to learn about our paper tigers, and two, to be able to dismiss them?
Well, my work is a lot around saying something that you want and then noticing what your body tells you. So if you say something like, I want to have a successful business, and then you start choking and noticing things, or you get scared, notice in your body where that energy is coming from. And most likely, if you take your time, maybe even put your hands on that spot, you'll find that there's a belief connected to it, and what I call a viral belief, or the paper tiger. I call it a viral belief because they're all living in us. Every one of us have viruses today. Any doctor will tell you that. The thing is, when your immune system's up and your stress is low, the virus just sits dormant. A good example would be a guy who says to me, I want to have I can't even get the word successful out of his throat. Then he goes into a paper tiger. Basically, in his body, as we breathed into it and felt into it, was a belief that his dad taught him all of his life. When he was young and he didn't get the toys like everybody else in the neighborhood for holidays, and he would say, Dad, why don't we get toys? And he'd say, Son, toys, gifts, money, all that stuff will make you sick. You don't need any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that belief system is that paper tiger. In him, and you could see it in his body, Donna, there's a paper tiger ready to bite. If you come and buy my product, if you actually make me successful, somewhere in me, I believe I'm going to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
That's an illusion. A paper tiger is an illusion. Yet every one of us carry those constantly as we walk down the street, as we go into a sales call, as we go on a first date. We have all these paper tigers ready to bite us. And the best thing to do is identify them in the body and breathe that anxiety out, because you're not going to have a lot of luck trying to change your mind. You know, this positive thinking is powerful, but to constantly try to change that thought is so hard. I just find when I relax in my body, I did a workshop this Saturday, had a full house, and everybody went through their paper tigers, went through their beliefs, and just shook them out of their bodies. Then there's some room to bring in a new one. I don't believe we get rid of things, but we can bring new thoughts in and new beliefs by really embracing those paper tigers so they won't bite us, versus trying to ignore them. And that's where they bite us, when we have these blindsided beliefs that we try to ignore, but they just keep, you know, having us repeat the same negative pattern over and over.
Yes, it's putting them into a new costume.
So and I like that.
They're going to feel more comfortable, so that you can change the color of it whenever you want, the style, but that's our choice. And that leads me into a quote that you had with Peter Levine. It's, trauma is a factor of life. It does not, however, have to be a life sentence. Not only can trauma be healed, but with appropriate guidance and support, it can be transformative. And that's what we've just been talking about. You have such wonderful stories in here. You have an exercise called the Garden of Wisdom. But I wanted to have you share your own personal journey about your Indian Odyssey and your cow journey. I love the cow. Cow consciousness.
Thank you.
Got to be educated about this. Okay, tell your story.
Well, like everybody, I woke up with a paper tiger one day, and I went into fiction. I woke up, and my chest was hurting, and I was bored with my work at the time, and I just felt like I needed a change in my life. And yet, what was happening, I started to get scared. Oh, my God, I think I'm having a heart attack. Oh, boy, I don't have a purpose anymore. Oh, man, I don't have that relationship anymore. I'm never going to have another relationship. Well, I did about 3 minutes of big spin on myself until I finally said, wait a minute, you teach this stuff. Take a breath. So I started breathing, and I got down on the floor and breathed more and just shook out all that fear and realized what it was really telling me was that I needed a break. I needed time to really take time. I hadn't taken time off. I had mileage added up. It was time to get out of here. And I started breathing into where should I go, asking for that inner guidance. And I kept hearing something I didn't want to hear. Go to India. I don't want to go to India. That's not why. I was thinking more like a beach. But, got an inkling. So I just wanted to check it out, Donna, to see what my body would say. And I went down to the Indian embassy to get a visa, which you have to get. And I saw a big sign, and it said, get your malaria shot. And I said, uh-oh, I'm not going to India. And I drove all the way back over the Golden Gate Bridge to my home in Marin County and tried to forget about it. Yet I couldn't forget about it because it kept coming back. So that night, my whole body was just saying, go to India, go to India. There's something there for you. Whether you believe that came from God, spirit, inner, higher self, I just know it was a very clear message. So I decided the next day to do it. I got my visa. I got a passport. And 2 days later, I was on a trip to Bombay, not knowing why or where, trusting that my body said go. I got to Bombay. I saw so many people that were in cardboard boxes and just thought, well, maybe that's why I'm here. Maybe I'm just supposed to be more grateful. Maybe I'm just supposed to have more gratitude and be more transparent like these people. Long story short, I hear music and India, they march around the couple that gets married sometimes for days on chairs. They're marching them around, and I'm really impressed with this. And all of a sudden, a herd of cows shows up, and they just burst right through the wedding procession, basically like, I'm here, and I'm going to walk where I want to walk. And I'm like, wow, imagine if I could do that. I bought an open-ended ticket to India. What would happen if I took on cow consciousness, where I would just wake up and follow my body and go wherever it was, even if it was walking through a wedding procession, following my body and trusting it that much. Well, longer story shorter, I woke up the next day and started walking. And my body started pulling me down this alley. It was a really strange feeling, but I knew that I had to go. I looked down the alley, I saw wild dogs and Sikhs sipping coffee, and I thought, this is not where I want to go in my mind, but my body's feeling like this is the place to go. I walk down. There's a man standing in the corner. He motions me over, and he says two words, Dalai Lama. Dalai Lama. Well, Dalai Lama lives like 12 hours away, so I wasn't expecting anything like that. I said, okay. He says, scooter. And he points to his scooter, and I just said, you know, at this point, I've come this far. Let me just follow my body's instincts. I went. And 10 minutes later, I was in the middle of a field, and I noticed a bunch of men with robes, and they were Tibetan monks. And inside of that circle was the Dalai Lama. And the Dalai Lama laughed when I arrived, as if he was waiting for me, and gave me some incredible wisdom just about being yourself, be authentic no matter what people do outside. And it was a miracle. I mean, it really, you know, your earlier question, that was one of the times in my life where I said, wow, I really need to trust my instincts. How many people want to meet the Dalai Lama? If you would have asked me that morning when I woke up scared and tense, of all the people in the world, who would you like to sit with to get wisdom? He would have been in the top one or three for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had to talk about the cow consciousness because that to me was just charming. I know we're out of time. I want my listeners to know that you have a website where they can find out more about your services and your wonderful book. It's called One Dream. One Dream, and one is spelled out, dream.com. Steve Siskold, thank you very much for being my guest today. What's your body telling you? Well, get his book and find out. it will enable you to achieve far more than what you would ever have imagined. It's a wonderful book to have as a companion when you feel like you're stuck and you want to find out what adventures lie ahead for you. This is a good book to get you started on the journey. Steve, again, thank you so much for being my guest today. Go to his website, onedream.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment with a lot more good things to share.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast, with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hello, this is Donna. Hey, telephone lines are open. And if you would like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the toll-free telephone number to call into. It is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And what I wanted to also tell you, because I've been announcing this for days now, my guest tomorrow, that is Kent Nerburn. We're going to be talking about his book, which has a fascinating title, and I haven't said too much about it. It's The Wolf at Twilight. And what this is about an Indian elder's journey through a land of ghosts and shadows. This is a beautifully done book. And I think you will find him to be a fascinating man, and we will be traveling, I believe, to England to chat with him tomorrow. So I hope that you will join us, but he is a man that has a lot to say in this fascinating story. And it's the type of story where fiction has been used as the costume for the truth expression. So I know you'll enjoy it quite a bit. And then on Friday, are you into mysteries? Well, Murder, She Wrote was always one of my favorites. Perry Mason, whenever I could see any of the reruns, I just loved that. I really like mystery shows. Well, how about a real-life mystery? We're going to be talking with Thomas Ray Crowell this Friday, And then we're going to be finding out about a real murder mystery. And I forgot to mention Linda McNabb on Thursday. We're going to be talking about one again. And this is her story, her journey. So we've got a great lineup of people, and I hope you'll tell your friends and join us, because it is going to be a fascinating week. And if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight, I would be, again, delighted to do that. Just give me a buzz at 888-815-9756, and I will share my intuitive insights for you with you. So again, 888-815-9756. I always chuckle whenever I come across something that they say, the common cold is decoded. And as someone is sniffling away and going, oh yeah, I'll believe that, when you know what freezes over. I have to tell you, someone has come out again with some more information. How many times do we say, if we understand something, we're going to be able to take care of it? Well, apparently last April, there was a publication that detailed how geneticists sequenced the RNA from 100 strains of rhinovirus. Now, what is rhinovirus? Well, it's the various types, all of the known types, of the leading cause of what is the common cold. Well, with colds, they affect every one of us differently. Why? Because there are so many different ways it can be expressed. The one thing we all know is that they are just very unpleasant to experience. Well, Stephen Liggett, who's with the University of Maryland School of Medicine, said his team has found regions of the genome that are similar across all of the strains, and those sequences that are very essential to survival, supposedly, are prime targets for some new drugs. Now, the equally notable are the bits of RNA that differ, which may explain why some bugs are nastier than others. Now, rhinoviruses have been around forever, and they can, dependent on circumstances and individual body chemistry, instigate asthma or trigger severe wheezing episodes in asthmatics. But they're not sure. It's unclear whether only certain strains of this virus are to blame. So they've been looking at tremendous numbers of the rhinovirus genomes, and they're thinking, boy, they're going to give us the answers. Just saying it's rhinovirus that's causing all of this isn't enough. There is so much diversity. Isn't that amazing? That's not a big surprise at all. Well, the whole overall feeling after all of this stuff was put out is keep your Kleenex box handy, because they haven't a clue still about how to defeat this. And there's so many more, they think, that can be identified. So they're going to keep on researching, which is fine. You never know what's going to come out of research. But I always have to chuckle, because just when they think, I've got it all nailed down to the floor, it's like, It's sort of like the old adage, the more you know, the less you know. Well, that applies to the common cold. You know, now they have worked on over 3,000 samples. 3,000, over 3,000 samples collected from patients at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. It'll never end. Why? Because as human beings, each of us have our own unique physiochemistry. And that is something that is always going to have an impact. There may be one strain that works over here and another strain that doesn't work over here. Our immune systems have an effect on anything and everything. So again, I just thought I'd share that little bit of trivia with you, because I just find it so fascinating that we human beings, especially when we get into the real academic environments, often have the demeanor that if we figure out one solution, that's going to take care of everything. Doesn't work that way. It's sort of like trying to raise children. You could have 15 kids, and every single one of them are very much their own person. They have their own personality. They have their own agendas, and they are going to handle things, every one of them, in their own unique way. That's life. And that's what makes life so interesting, although it can be downright irritating at times. But it is, nonetheless, what makes the world go round is the factor of diversity. So I wanted to share that little bit of information with you. Now, holidays are here. Oh, are you baking? Are you preparing things? Boy, the cooking bug had hit me as soon as the temps started falling, and here in the Pacific Northwest, they've dropped all the way down to 13 degrees above zero, which for us this time of the year is not a common experience. Usually we'll get hit with this kind of cold probably in January or February, but usually not that intense. And the skies are blue. It's just gorgeous out. The sun is shining, which we all enjoy when we're up in the far north, but it's bitter, bitter cold compared to what we are used to. Well, if you feel sort of frustrated and you're in an environment where the sun isn't shining very much and you're just feeling frustrated, why don't you do something special for yourself and get out some vanilla? Mm-hmm. Do you know that the vanilla fragrance is one of the all-time favorites of fragrances because it is so calming for an uptight situation? I can't think of anything that is more relaxing than smelling vanilla, maybe simmering on the stove, or just there are oil essences of vanilla. There's different things. It's just so relaxing. Absolutely wonderful. Well, they found that not only do people benefit from a fragrance like that, especially if you're having a hard time falling asleep, if you had the vanilla fragrance, there's just something that's very soothing. Primarily, I think, because it's been associated with baking. It just has that wonderful aroma. Cocoa, it's just there. Animals have a reaction to vanilla, too, which I wasn't aware of. And they are in the fragrance itself are chemicals that work biologically. Vanilla extract. If you're really uptight, keep a little vial somewhere and wave it under your nose. If you're really having a rough day, kids are stressing you, everybody at work is sick, so you're having to do all of the work for them, or whatever might be in your environment, vanilla is very soothing. I thought I'd share some other things about spices because they're so significant with the holidays, with baking, preparing your meals. This is the time when people just really enjoy using things like cinnamon, sage, allspice, cloves, peppermint, ginger. They're all familiar holiday spices. So cloves, they found some research in Tokyo that said when they did brain scans of volunteers that were exposed to different scents, the scent of cloves actually increases beta waves in the front of the brain. Well, what does that do, you may ask me? It increases your alertness, your concentration, as well as energy. Cloves have also been shown to improve memory and boost happiness. So if you have an orange, if you don't, go out and buy one. Stud an orange with whole cloves for a festive holiday accent. Or maybe just put some in a room, and the fragrance of the orange oils along with the cloves combined will create a wonderful, subtle aroma in that room. Allspice. Now, this is something I love to use. And this spice has been around for, who knows how long. Allspice is a berry. And it contains an item called eugenol. It's an essential oil that boosts circulation. It warms the body and kills fungi and bacteria. During the Napoleonic Wars, Russian soldiers put allspice in their boots to protect their feet from cold and disease. And the aroma has been shown to improve moods. And do you know what? It's even in cologne. That's right. Colognes and perfumes. They use allspice. It's very attractive, apparently, to the ladies, guys. Well, I know we're getting ready to go on a break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Toll-free number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. By the way, I've had some inquiries, people wanting to know if I give out gift certificates for private readings that they have friends or family or someone they'd like to gift. Yes, I do. So if you'd like to do something like that for the holidays or at any time during the year, you're welcome to just give me a call at my office, which is 872-8852, and I'll be happy to put that gift certificate together and send it to you or send it to whomever you would like it to go to. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. More good things to share.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. I've said so many times on the show, one person makes a difference. You make a difference. And it's important, I think, to be able to share stories about people that are doing the best that they know how and how they discover what they do has an impact. And this is the story about a young woman whose name is Anita. And she's a musician. And little did Anita realize that her love of music was going to change the lives of children in a very special way. Anita one day walked into the Texas Children's Cancer Center offering to play some music to soothe children. She had become aware that the children really were going through tremendous trauma with the treatments that they got. And she said she thought that this was something she could do to make their world a little bit better. And this was totally a new experience for her. And when she walked into the pediatric oncology ward, she was stunned. This wasn't a depressing place. It didn't have gray walls. No, it was brighter. It was cheerier than she could ever imagine. She found that there was a huge playroom that was loaded with all kinds of toys. There was an atmosphere, a very optimistic atmosphere, in an environment that was dealing with potentially terminal situations. And when she looked at it, her heart just went out to these children. Her first response was, oh my goodness, they've lost their hair, their faces many times were frightened, and she was just in pain emotionally with what she was feeling. Now, she began to notice some things when she was playing. The children would respond to what she was playing. And she liked to think that when she was there performing the music, that the children were able to detach from a lot of the treatments that they were getting, because those treatments are quite painful. Well, she had been involved in the past as being a music teacher. She had given piano lessons, and as a piano teacher, she often would encourage her students to write and record their own songs. Well, the kids just loved it, and she was very successful with it. And of course, she would make a CD for them and put their name on it, and they would just get all excited about this. And while Anita was playing at the hospital, memories were coming back into her mind, and she said, every child needs to know the kind of joy that my students experienced at being their own creative source. And she thought, you know, it might be a good idea if these cancer patients, these children, write some of their own music. And it might help them deal with their pain and with their being scared, even if it's just for a little bit of time. So what Anita did is she put together a proposal, and she went to the hospital administrators. They thought it was a terrific idea. They said, we even have a place where you could have a recording studio. And it was by an area in the hospital where there are all kinds of payphones. Nobody was using them, so it was a space that was just totally available. Well, what happened was this. The phones were replaced with electronic keyboards and recording equipment. They took the payphones out. And she painted this room where the payphones had been. She painted the room purple, like the grape popsicles. She said it was her signature hue, but the children she had taught really liked it, and she thought it was a color that spurred imagination and creativity. So this is what she did. She developed her project. She titled it Purple Songs Can Fly, and you can go to her website, purplesongscanfly.org. Well, the children started coming in, and they just loved it. There was an 8-year-old girl named Simran who sang about her battle with bone cancer. Her title of her song was Always Remembering. There was a 12-year-old boy who talked about having Hodgkin's disease. He put it into a gospel song, and he titled it I Can Make It. There was a teenager, Jalen Huckabee. He was fighting lymphoma. The 16-year-old said, I don't like singing, but when Anita said, I've got pictures of a very special person in my life, it's her little Yorkie. She said, you know what? She does high fives. She's a little Yorkie. She sits, she twirls, and if we let her hair grow, it curls. Jalen was relating to this Yorkie. Anita wrote down the words and said, you've just written your first verse. Jalen titled the song, and Anita helped him with the music, My Yipping Dog. The mother was thrilled because she said it had given her son inspiration. Well, it wasn't just Jalen and the children that I mentioned, but there were so many that had been going through so much pain that the music just liberated them. And they would talk with their lyrics about what they felt. Today, Anita has recorded nearly 150 tunes about everything from princesses to kittens to first love. And all of this music has proven to be phenomenal medicine. One of the oncologists, his name is David Poplack, said, what Anita's doing is making a tremendous difference. Having this venue to express themselves has proven particularly helpful in these children's recovery. Do you know on Continental Airlines, they're listened to, and the songs have been on the space shuttle? Yes, the music has truly gone around the world twice. Anita said, it's a reminder to shoot for the stars because nothing is impossible, even overcoming cancer. She said, I always knew music was powerful, but every day now it's helping these children. It's helping them to heal. And every moment I spend with them is exhilarating. One person makes a difference. It happens. With Anita, it happens with you. Don't ever feel that whatever you have a love for, whatever you have a passion for, whether it's with penguins, pencils, flying saucers, I don't care. There is a value in who you are as a human being, and your gift is to share it with the world. This is Donna Sebo. I know that we're out of time. Remember, tomorrow we're going to be right here, same time, same place, and we're going to be talking about the wolf at twilight an Indian elder's journey through the land of ghosts and shadows. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Light up your life. Be joyful during this holiday season and sing your own song in your own way. This is Donna Siebel. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.